Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Oh, my God.
No way!
Who is the real YIC there?
Nah, just teasing. Just teasing. Not trying to get off to a bad start. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey. Nice to have you with us. In case you didn't know, that was audio from right here on the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan, Burgundy and Gold. What do we call it? In-game live? With Toby Altizer and the real youngest in charge, who joins us now. Linnell Willingham. Now, the video is funnier than the audio.
Well, I could have sure damn used the Chris Russell stimulus package by retweeting it, but, you know.
I did.
You did?
I did, yes, okay. Of course. Because I tagged...
I was looking for that Grant Paulson stimulus package for all 136,000 of those followers.
Yeah, Grant doesn't like doing that. Toby's audio is better than yours, but you talking... bleep to the camera and you looking with the only way I can describe
euphoria.
It is big bugged
euphoria.
Eyes.
Euphoria.
Yeah. Like you were like, I thought you were going to kill the camera, man. It was crazy.
It was the greatest moment of my sports
life. It was unbelievable being there. I know you were on air and then obviously doing your thing after and whatnot. It was still, 2.5 days later, I don't know how to put it in the proper perspective because we just have nothing else to really compare it to.
It's a one-of-one situation. Yeah. Let it be what it is.
I've tried to think about, compared to that magical Sunday night against Dallas to clinch the division, and still more significant in terms of the impact and the meaning. But as an individual moment, I've tried to think, okay, Santana's second touchdown Monday night, week two on the road in 25, Santana's walk-off, three touchdowns, one in overtime. I think that was 2006, if memory serves me correct. I've tried to think of all the different things, and I still can't exactly come up with one singular moment. Like if you say, well, it was Alfred Morris's, going over 200 in that Dallas game, maybe. But the game wasn't locked up by any means at that point. So if you talk about Rob Jackson's game-sealing interception against the guy that was on the mic on Sunday, right?
Yep.
He's seen his share of horror stories here in 2012. But huge and it essentially clinched the division, I don't know because of the absolute improbability of what we saw on Sunday if you can find any one individual moment better than that, bigger than that, more impactful than that because of when it happened. If it happens at the end of the first half, it's really cool and it adds to the legend and the lore. Think about this, right? If it happens at the end of the first half, the last time we saw a Hail Mary here in Washington was Jameis Winston for New Orleans at the end of the first half, right? Yeah. Didn't win them the game. I mean, they won the game,
right?
But it didn't win them the game. If that exact play happens at the end of the first half, because remember, they ripped off that big Eckler run when Chicago had kind of tapped out and, whatever, and it ended the first. If that happens 30 minutes earlier, we're all like, oh, my God, Jaden, the great play, whatever. But we're not our jaws are still not on the floor 3 days later. You know what I'm saying?
It's different. And the best way I could describe it is the greatest moment. I wanted to call it the greatest moment in the history of the franchise. That's where I'm at. It's the best moment
in the history of the franchise?
I'm hyperbolizing because I'm not alive for Super Bowls.
Right.
It's the best moment of my lifetime.
Okay. That's fair.
Think it's...
Because you were born in what, 94?
97.
Yeah, so... 94. I couldn't remember. You were...
The playoff win in 2005.
You were T-minus 6 years when they last were super relevant. And I mean by... Super relevant, I mean Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to think of
even
one individual moment.
Even the playoff game in 05, I don't remember all that well. Yeah. My first moment as a fan that I remember is losing to Chad Pennington and the Jets at MetLife in 07. It's the last memory I have of. It's like my first memory of
this team. You mean overall memory, not my playoff
first,
memory.
No, no, okay. My first memory of the team is that season was the first season I watched.
2007.
Every game. That was when Sean Taylor died, unfortunately. Yeah. But that's why I got such an emotional attachment to the team.
Right. And that's when I moved.
Someone died.
That's when I moved to this area permanently. Like, I had been on the radio over on the old 106.7 WJFK for many years before that, talking a lot about the Redskins, hoping that I would will myself into a job, because at the time my wife was from here and we wanted to move our kids back, you know, so I of course was very, you know, Redskin centric, but I wasn't living here. And then when I first moved here, I couldn't get a job here locally on radio. So I joined Sirius XM and I was working baseball at that time. It wasn't until 2009, as you know, when 106.7 went all sports in the middle of July, that I was able to finally crack that code. So for me, I called it the best individual moment, right? The best individual moment, but not the most significant moment or milestone or win, however you want to spin that.
I have one thing to ask you.
Yeah.
Is he him yet? Is he him yet, Chris Russell? What more do you need to see?
Well,
no, I know you've broken down the tape, and I've started to get into the tape. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
He actually had some very uncharacteristic misses on Sunday, which was interesting. I don't know how much that has to do with lack of practice time, but I thought the accuracy from him Sunday was not as crisp as we're accustomed
to seeing. I totally agree. I don't know how uncharacteristic. I mean, he has a couple of poor throws.
Everybody misses.
In my opinion, game.
That's what every quarterback does, Chris.
He was not helped out by the penalties downfield, the drops, all that. We'll get into all of that. The lack of running game, maybe Cliff, because the biggest issue, and you and I have, we talked on the phone the other day, but I was busy. I was on deadline, whatever. So I wasn't really paying attention. You don't have a voice. This is the first radio show that you've done since Sunday night. You know, I'm here obviously talking about this, you know, on Monday and Tuesday, but you know, Doc didn't really want to do a whole lot on it yesterday, so I just kind of left it alone. I wanted to do something else, so I kind of dragged him kicking and screaming, as we normally do. But
you got your syringe for him?
But, you know, what's interesting is the overall takeaway is they won a game that they probably should not have won, right? I think we can all say that. Now, if you look at the first three and a third quarters, they obviously should have won it based on that, because they, speaking of dragging, kicking, and screaming,
they thoroughly outplayed Chicago.
They raked the Chicago Bears over the coals for three and a third quarters.
Yeah, I agree.
The game is 60 minutes, though, right? So even though that was the case, we can acknowledge that and also say we can acknowledge that they should have lost, right? Ultimately. Now, however you meet that out in your mind is however you meet that out in your mind. The one thing that I wanted to get from you and the one thing I wanted to focus on you, because now that the elation and the jubilation is starting to subside a little bit.
We get back to football?
Yeah.
Because I'm ready to get into the nitty-gritty.
It's how do you get better in the red zone so that you don't have what happened on, or you don't need what happened and what you needed on Sunday. And, oh, by the way, it's a perfect time. You might be saying, well, why be such a Debbie Downer? Guess what? Guys, there's been two games this year where they have been inept in the red zone. One Sunday against the Chicago Bears, and they won. Two?
Week two.
Against the New York Giants, week two. Liddell, did you check the schedule? Who's the opponent this Sunday?
I have no clue, Chris.
It's the New York Giants. So that's why it's absolutely relevant. So I want to get there in just a sec. First, I wanted to ask this before I forget. So you always mention that you're always left out of lunches and whatnot and food drops and all that. So I said, my guy Linnell's here. You're not going to be with me tomorrow. We're not going to get into all that. That's logistics. You're busy. You're doing your thing. Whatever. It's Halloween, right? We'll do some different things.
Maddie's going to come in dressed as a chicken.
Maddie's going on vacation next week.
Oh, and Matt, you deserve
vacation. I'm going to order some lunch for the crew, right? Normally JP and B Mitch are here, and normally they order a big lunch, and you know everybody kind of picks. I feel bad for them. They're not here. They're out now. Ashburn, so I ordered lunch for everybody. You know, a little bit. Grant Paulson was kind enough to take me to the Caps Rangers game last night.
Down on the glass. Buddy.
Let me tell you something. I've got some awesome stories.
Yeah.
We will get to that. Matt's going on vacation all of next week. So this is the last time that you're going to, you know, well, not the last time, but you know what I'm saying.
For a little while.
So I saw a place here in the Navy Yard that serves up like pizza, Detroit style pizza, whatever, and they have a special burger on the menu called the Le Big Mat. Not the Big Mac, the Le Big Mat. Le Big Mat, as in, well, Matt. So I said, well, I can't order that for everybody because a little pricey. I got to order enough food for everybody. But I can order a special one for Le Big Mat as a thanks for all the work that he does. A small thanks.
For the Big
Mat. A small token. So, Matt, you knew of this burger and had never, I don't think, mentioned it.
Oh, I mentioned it.
You have mentioned it?
A couple times. So
I don't remember you mentioning it at all.
So Emmy Squared.
So this ruins the surprise a little bit.
It doesn't ruin the surprise because this just so happens to be my favorite burger in D.C. right now.
Oh, okay.
I wonder why.
Well, has nothing actually to do with the name at all. This is a Emmy Squared. I learned about them when I was up in New York because that was when they got their start up there.
Right.
And obviously known for their pizzas, but very quickly became known as the best burger in New York or one of the top three burgers in New York. So when I came down to the DMV, saw that there was one because I originally know the place that or the venue that, or venue. The restaurant that's over in Old Town.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that, immediately was like, well, I got to see if it's as good as it is up in New York. And, oh, fantastic.
So have you had the burger yet?
Not this one.
Okay.
I haven't touched into this one yet. I'm about to.
But it's labeled Le Big Mat. So we took a couple of pictures. I'll post them up online. I had no idea that he knew about this before because
I'm a foodie. I know.
I had never heard of this place until maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was intrigued by their food, so I said, well, let me, you know, whatever. So anyway, that kind of, in some ways, kind of ruins it.
Oh, it makes it so much better.
I also was able to, you know, again, you're here, and that's good, and I feel better about you not getting screwed on top of that. And Grant Paulson, again, was so kind to take me to the game last night, sit on the glass, first time ever in 51 years. Again, Alex Ovechkin scored 2 goals in the first 4 minutes. The Rangers scored a goal. There was a big fight. The Capitals scored 5 overall, won a huge game, as big of a game as you could win in week 3 of the NHL season. And it was an electric atmosphere. I mean, if Sunday with Jaden Daniels was the atmosphere of all atmospheres, I'm not telling you that there was one individual moment that would top what Jaden Daniels and the Commanders did on Sunday. But you know, and I know, and everybody that's been to Capital One Arena for a big playoff game or big even regular season game against the Penguins, against the Rangers, against the Flyers, and a couple of big moments, and it doesn't take long sometimes for those big moments to develop. It's not just the crowd was electric last night. The crowd was electric last night. And, you know, I will say this, okay? And I wanted to throw this out there as part of what you guys can chomp on. At 301-230-0980, we're going to get into the red zone thing in just a sec, but I want to have a little bit of fun with this. So a couple of weeks ago, Nate Silver, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a big analytics guy, whatever. He's more now into politics and polls and all that crap, but he started in sports, and he called D.C. a terrible sports town. I forget the exact language
that he
used.
Yeah, yeah.
He called D.C. a terrible sports teams because of it, town because of its lousy sports teams. And I started to think, I said, well, okay, the Commanders have been awful for the large part of 30 years with limited exception, but they are absolutely on the rise, and what happened Sunday certainly was huge. The Capitals have been the one mainstay, if you will, over the last 15-ish years in the Rock the Red era, the Stanley Cup. Now, I wish they would have had more Stanley Cups, but they only have one. I wish they would have won more playoff series since then. They've won none. Alex Ovechkin eventually, whether it's late this year or early next year, barring some sort of unforeseen circumstance, is going to top Wayne Gretzky as the greatest goal scorer of all time. So on and so forth. The Wizards are the Wizards, and I have a feeling the Wizards are the Wizards. They'll be back and they'll be good, and maybe they'll be 2-2 after tonight.
That a big win the other night.
Yeah, absolutely. DC United and the Washington Spirit and the Mystics have all had varying levels of success at different times. Maybe not so much recently. The Spirit a couple years ago, but the point being is, Washington DC is a sports town. And I started to think about this, not only what happened Sunday night, what I experienced last night, again, down on the glass, first time ever in 51 years that I sat down on the glass. And I mean, it couldn't have happened in a bigger, better game. You know, Ovechkin scored the two goals. He came right. His wife was sitting right next to Grant and I. So he came right over after the first goal and the dog pile right in front of us. He skated and stopped short and sprayed the entire glass right in front of me. It was a great video that I got. It was an unbelievable experience. The crowd was insane. We know Sunday night, nothing is probably going to top that. But then I also started thinking, today, October 30th, 2024, is the five-year anniversary of the Nationals winning their first and only World Series championship.
Wow.
So this is a long way of saying, you know, Washington, D.C. certainly has criticisms that you can label as a fair weather, front running, playoff only, big event town. And I've labeled sometimes not as a bad sports town, but as a big event town. We don't always turn out in droves for every little regular season game of whatever.
I agree.
You know, and oh, by the way, they don't do that in New York all the time either. There are times when the Mets suck and they're drawing 20,000 people to Citi Field, okay? Now, I mean, it is different, but my point being is, Linnell, I think we are on the verge, and I think we have had not only some of the greatest sports moments that this city has had, not, again, anything really compared to the three Super Bowls. I got it. I understand that would put the icing on the cake. But where we're at with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, the five-year anniversary of the Nationals, and they are on the way back. Alex Ovechkin still alive and kicking and chasing Wayne Gretzky, and the Capitals, I think, are a much-improved team. The Wizards are a improving team. They're not a much-improved team. They are an improving team. I think where we are in Washington, D.C., if, like, you scaled it 1 to 10, I'd say right now we're about a 7 on that 1 to 10, like, fantastic, great sports town, which doesn't mean just fans. It means quality teams. I think right now, because of Jaden's ascent and because of the Commanders' ascent and what they mean to this town, we're probably at about a 7 right now. Is that too high in your opinion?
Too low?
Too low.
I mean, think about what, and because of, I think, the Commanders and where they currently are skews the numbers to me, or excuse the poll out of 10.
It pumps it up. Okay.
Just because of the importance. This is one of the blue blood franchises, and not just the NFL, but all of professional sports.
I would agree with that.
Like, the legacy of this organization, you know, spans back 100 years.
Very important franchise to not only like Washington, but like you said, to the NFL because of the town that we're in, the political power, the, you know, just the history, the tradition, the market size, all of that.
I think for that, it's a lot. Even if the Caps weren't off to the red hot start, and I think last night for the Caps was cool. Obviously, Ovi scores two goals, but you can't tell me that over the weekend you didn't think, oh, well, the other shoe was dropped. The offense has gone cold.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. And then for them to come out and
because of the red zone issues largely.
Right. Well, I'm talking about the Caps.
Oh, the Caps.
For them over the weekend to get blanked.
Against
and then
Tampa,
come,
yeah. That's and, a good team.
Yeah, right,
that's a really good goaltender.
New York is a damn good team.
So I think people,
and correct me if I'm wrong, were probably feeling like, okay, the other shoe was dropped on the Caps after they got blanked by by Tampa. And then for them to come out last night the way that they performed, and like you said, the atmosphere was electric. I think I'm at an 8. I just think, and maybe.
And you're talking about combining all the teams.
I'm talking about everything.
The teams on the field, even, the crowd, the fan interest.
Like the Nats. Yeah. Think about how exciting if you're a hockey mark.
Right.
This past hockey offseason was really exciting for you.
Oh yeah.
If you're a baseball mark, the Nats about to spend some cheese.
Yes.
So this is going to be another really exciting offseason.
Again,
so
this is why I kind of thought this would be an interesting kind of gauge.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of ascension.
The arrow's pointing
right
up everywhere.
Now.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now. So I think that's the bigger point. Yeah, the arrow is pointing up right now in a way that I don't remember it ever has.
Right. So here's the question, and I just kind of thought about, I didn't even bounce this off of you or Matt before the show. It was just something that I've been thinking about, and so I was like, you know what, let me get the temperature. So as part of your phone call, as part of like your listening experience today, obviously we're going to get into the red zone issues in just a sec. Of course, continued elation from last week. But where are we as a sports town on a scale of 1 to 10? And that means fan engagement, that means fan interest, that means fan passion and pandemonium, and that also means where the major teams are at in this particular area. I say a 7, you say an 8.
Yeah.
We'll get Maddie's thoughts on that. We'll get your thoughts on that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to tweet or send us a message on X, it's at WrestleMania621. At Nell_BTP, at Mr_Me93. That's a lot of handles and whatnot. You'll figure it out. You're good, and we're good, and we're off and running on a Windbag Wednesday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
The number. Here are the Chris Russell Show. It's a Windbag Wednesday. Chris Russell times the youngest in charge, Lanelle Willingham, taking you up to 4 like we do each and every day. Chris, I think you posed, and I'll give you credit when credit is due, because that brain of yours doesn't always compute. But I think you actually came up with a very brilliant opening segment to put, it honestly puts in perspective my fandom, something that I don't think we spend enough time doing because we're so worried about being smart as we are. We're the smartest two employees in Odyssey, D.C.
But your fandom is really interesting. Let me just start with that.
It is.
It's really interesting.
I don't have, it's more so I'm out here just vibing.
Well,
it's all off faith.
And here's what I would say. The two, and I'm not trying to be critical, the two teams that you are the biggest fan of have largely sucked your entire life.
Yes.
The two teams that you are a very, very, very casual, and I'm not trying to be insulting.
No,
you're just you're not a big time baseball or a big time hockey fan. Have been the only two teams that have been largely relevant.
So it's like even when they are good, it's almost like nah.
Yeah.
No,
but
for you to say
an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 of where we are, and again, remember, this is not just, hey, how many fans show up on a random Tuesday night to a Nationals-Arizona Diamondbacks game? That's not what we're asking.
Doesn't
so
matter.
please don't calculate that. What we're asking is where the teams are currently on the field and organizationally, okay, what the direction appears to be.
For all of them.
And fan interest, fan passion, fan buy-in. And you can measure that in a lot of different ways.
For sure.
It's
even
not just fannies in the seats.
No.
It's
relevancy.
What we feel on the phones every day, what we get on Twitter. Well, you get a lot more social media interaction than I do. You know, I guess that's the youngest in charge thing and whatever. Maybe you've hoodwinked some people. I have no idea.
I
don't get as much interaction. I get angry people. I get people yelling at me because they don't like the radio show, whatever. But the point of the matter is, now, I think we're at a critical juncture where, and I felt this way, and remember this, when John Wall and Bradley Beal were very young in their career, before all the injuries.
16, 17.
And we had Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and
Cousins.
Alex Ovechkin was in the absolute middle of his prime but had not climbed Mount Stanley yet.
And Kirk.
And we had Kirk Cousins. And for a period of time, even still, there was some hope, belief, whatever, that Jay Gruden could turn around Robert Griffin. You know, this is circa 2014, 2015, maybe a wider swath than that. But you get the point. I thought there was a time where, oh, man, we are about to just be.
From 14 to 17,
yeah,
this
we
place
are,
was buzzing.
We are, like, heading into a stratosphere that not many towns get to. And it fell apart very quickly.
14 to 17 was like, that was when the Wizards first got back in the postseason. I'll never forget their first postseason series while I was in high school against the Bulls. They beat the Bulls as the lower seeded team. It was such a cool thing. They were this young, super young team going up against a veteran Bulls team, and they beat them. And like that to me was the peak of my Wizards fandom, or the start of my like diehard Wizards fandom during that time as well, because I think that's like 14, 15. That's when Kirk started to look like, oh, wait, we have a real guy. You mentioned Ovechkin. That was when the Nats were spending big time dough in free agency and trading for big time talent across the league, getting themselves back into the National League conversation again. So I think this is comparable to that time period. I think this is different, though, and I keep bringing up the Caps. I got to bring up the Caps, and I got to bring up the Commanders. We got two national stories here.
Yeah.
Ovechkin's chase of Gretzky is a national story.
Beyond.
Like, he was on Sport. Like, that was one of the top featured on SportsCenter this
morning. And Scott Van Pelt does a lot of hockey coverage, so I want to give him credit. But you're right.
We have two
it translates beyond
right
that.
Now.
Yes. So and the game was on ESPN, so, I mean, again.
It doubles it up.
Yeah, but to your point.
And with Jaden, he's a national story.
Two almost iconic, at this point, athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody on the Wizards. There's nobody on the Nationals right now that's iconic. James Wood could get there. Dylan Cruz might get there.
That's why this conversation is so interesting, because when you start to prognosticate and think about, well, how do we get everybody? We're in a situation where we could have a major star in each, on each team.
Yes. And that's where we're – I want to believe that's where we're heading.
I think so.
And where we're heading, I think, is to a nine and or a nine
and
a half.
And I know the Wizards are like the ugly stepchild around here, but you bet
Give
your
Give them
ass,
another year
you watched them
and
last,
change.
You watched them – what was it, Monday night?
Yeah.
Played their ass off defensively.
Give them another year and change, and I think we'll have a very different prism. All right, I want to stop it right there. We will get to your calls in just a sec. Hang tight. Do a quick trending alert here. Come on back. We'll get more to the fans. Also, we'll get into the red zone issues and struggles. So we'll kind of bounce back and forth between the two. Linnell Willingham and me, the Rooster, Chris Russell. With you, Matty Ice on the other side of the glass. Time for a trending alert. All right, the Yankees stayed alive last night, breaking out the big bats, and maybe that woke up everything during Game 4 of the World Series, a win after they were trailing 2-0 early. But one of the side stories to the game was what happened between two Yankee fans and Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts along the right field wall. Season ticket holders Austin Capobianco and John Peter were ejected from Yankee Stadium and will be banned from attending tonight's Game 5, which, of course, is the final game, win or lose, of the season at Yankee Stadium. Now, the story, this is according to ESPN, the story does not say anything about next year, but they will be banned from attending tonight after being ejected, and rightfully so in just about everyone's mind, last night. Game 5 of the World Series. Dodgers up 3-1, 8:08 first pitch tonight. Meanwhile, the Commanders are back on the practice field this afternoon in preparation for the New York Giants. We'll have some injury updates coming up for you in terms of who's on the field, who's not on the field. The Giants coming off that Monday night loss in Pittsburgh. The New York Jets have put struggling place kicker Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg, on injured reserve, and they've signed not one, but two kickers for tomorrow night's Thursday night game against the Houston Texans. You might remember one of them, Riley Patterson, who is here with the Commanders and not very good, and Spencer Schrader. Now, they're not sure which one is going to kick and which one is going to do anything. They were both signed to the practice squad. Obviously, one of them will get elevated, maybe both. We will see. Thursday night football, Jets and the Texans coming up tomorrow night. And that's what's trending. All right, the Commanders are on the practice field getting ready for the New York Giants this Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. One of the few remaining. I mean, there's some more scheduled, but I can promise you one of the few remaining 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon games that you will see this franchise play, period. And that's, you know, maybe that doesn't bother anybody.
Wow. I just found out.
I don't know. Here's one thing that just crossed a couple of minutes ago. Actually, more than a couple of minutes ago.
Chris Russell, late as usual.
Well, no, because we don't have an official ruling. But it's something that stood out to me. I could not believe this Sunday night. And then I watched it again yesterday like 10 times. And I still couldn't believe it. And some dope, you know, tried to diminish my football knowledge, saying maybe it was because of the offensive linemen were downfield and preparing to run. No, it was a pass play. Johnny Newton, second play of the game. When he swallowed up Caleb Williams, who had pumped to his left after initially mishandling the snap.
He should have threw the damn ball.
I understand that. And that's why it was a sack. Yeah. And I couldn't believe that the NFL took away what was initially... No! And Dan Quinn was asked about it today because I've been bitching about it.
Wow.
And others have said, you know, the Mark Bullocks of the world, you know, the real film people, right? The Hogshaven, you know, and all that. Mark Tyler and all those guys. And some of the media, too. Dan Quinn did submit the play. Chick Hernandez passed this along. And then Nikki Javala doubled down on it. Dan Quinn did submit the play. On behalf of Johnny Newton to the NFL, he believes the play should be credited for sack. Quote, it was certainly a pass play, so hopefully it goes his way. So I just wanted to pass that along because we had heard that he was indeed submitting that. But, you know, again, we didn't know per se. Now, Dan Quinn did say Jaden Daniels and Brandon Coleman would practice some today, but Cornelius Lucas would be out today. So it's a really good sign, I think. Forget about Jaden Daniels.
You're going to get me annoyed.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get me annoyed. Why? I'm annoyed already because it reminds me of what we went back to on cutdown day when these dopes kept Trent Scott. Trent Scott's terrible.
He is terrible.
I can't even believe that they looked at him all camp long. And thought, you know what?
Well, they didn't have anybody else.
Let's keep
that's
this
the
guy.
Problem.
Go sign someone.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, why would you? Yeah.
But here, but before we go crazy about Trent Scott, it is a positive.
He blows.
Not a definitive, but it is a positive that Brandon Coleman is back on the practice field. Now, again, that in order to get fully cleared from concussion protocol, you can't have setbacks, right? And he could. This would happen to Jordan Reed all the time in 2013, Mike and Kyle Shanahan's last year here. They'd prepare all week. Jordan Reed. He's going to be a big part of the game plan, and then he'd have a setback
on a Friday,
nausea or headaches or whatever on a Saturday often, and then he wouldn't be able to play because he couldn't clear concussion protocol. So you always got to be careful. But it is a good sign that at least Coleman, and I would assume by practicing some, will be listed as limited, but better that he's on the field than not on the field because now they can go to the next step, if you will, of protocol. Not a great sign that Lucas is not there, but it's also a veteran Wednesday midway through the year. I'm not going to read too much
into
that.
Zach Ertz isn't practicing, as it hasn't practiced Wednesday once all
right,
year.
Right, exactly, so. Exactly. So, but because we know that Lucas has an injury and was seen in a walking boot, which is not always the end all be. Like people think,
protection.
Oh my God, walking boot.
It's for protection.
Exactly. Yeah. It's there for stability, support, so on. So that's the practice updates that I wanted to pass along. Now, we want to get to the calls before we get into the red zone issue on the viability of Washington, D.C. currently right now as a sports town, where we are, scale of 1 to 10. And again, this is on the field and off the field. Fan interest, fan passion, fan pandemonium, if you will, and it's obviously a great time for that after what happened Sunday night, after what I experienced from a bird's eye view last night, Caps Rangers. Also, from a where the franchises are at on their individual playing surface, ice, grass, what have you, and where they might be heading. I say it's a 7. You say it's an 8. Matt, real quickly, you say?
I'm going to go, and I'm going to agree with Linnell that we're actually at an 8.
Wow.
As the only person...
Wait, do, Wait a second. Let me clean out my ears. Did you say I agree with?
Way to go on vacation. Way to go to vacation.
Only person who rides the metro every single day. I have the most broad view of the people of what they're wearing. And one of the jokes that, like I mentioned yesterday, my girlfriend always makes is that nobody in DC actually wears DC gear. That she's from Philly.
I was going to say, she's a little bit salty, though, towards DC sports fans, right?
Well, she just doesn't think that we're as good because, I mean, when you look at Philly, though, people would go to court in a Eagles shirt because go Birds.
Yeah.
They're insane.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to say, the difference between the last two seasons working here, riding the metro, seeing people, what they're wearing every single day, and this year, I can't go 30 feet when I'm on the metro without seeing somebody wearing a Redskins, Commanders, Washington football team. It doesn't matter what iteration, but burgundy and gold
is out
everywhere.
Right now. It is. No. Seriously, and I'm glad that you brought up that point. And it's such a stark contrast. I told you all when I first got that Jaden Daniels jersey from my guy Athan in Annapolis, I went.
You mean Austin in Annapolis? No, I'm just here.
Well, you fed me, so he's Athan. A dude came up to me and was like, started laughing at me. Because, like, why am I wearing this jersey publicly?
Yeah.
And I told him, you know, we got one. It's just such a stark contrast from what it's been. You can't go into any public establishment right now in the DMV and not see that stupid W or the Redskins logo.
But, I mean, it goes to, like,
well, you don't see the Redskins logo for sale anymore at major stores and chains.
People have had their apparel.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, it's also, you have the curly W. People, everyone is still wearing the Washington. People are happy to be Washington sports fans.
I was telling somebody at Capital One Arena last night, Grant and I were talking to them at dinner, like, and they're, like, business people in Ashburn, right? So they know the sports scene enough. They know some people. I have never seen more Terry McLaurin jerseys in just the last 3 or 4 weeks than.
That's interesting.
It's out of the woodworks. Well, now, Terry, maybe they were always there, right, because people did like Terry.
But think about this, though. Over the last 5 years, since Terry got here in 16, he's been the best 19. Player in the front. I'm sorry. 6 and 9, you know, they flip upside down. He's been the best player.
Yes. So that stands to reason. But I'm saying I don't remember seeing the volume of Terry McLaurin jerseys up until this year.
Yeah.
Maybe I was missing it. Maybe I was just unlucky. But I don't remember seeing the volume. Let's get you guys aboard here on the radio show, Graham, here, and get it going on the phones. We'll get into the red zone after 2 o'clock. Let's go to Jeremy, who's up in Baltimore, but is a DC sports fan, I think. Right, Jeremy?
That's right. I'm back, guys.
Yes, sir.
A couple weeks ago. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have.
It's a 10 out of 10. It is the strongest 10 out of 10 right now to be a Washington fan. It is the coolest thing to be a Washington fan. And I want to share a quick story with you. I co-parent my 12-year-old daughter with her mom. We live in Baltimore. Her side of the family are Ravens fans. My side of the family are huge diehard Washington fans.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, I tried to convince my daughter about why she should support this team. And I don't know if you have listeners or if either of you guys are in a situation like mine, but it's really difficult to not have your daughter follow your team as a father.
Yeah, right.
But I had no argument. We had a disgusting owner. We had, in my opinion and a lot of people's, an inherently racist name. We sucked on the field, but now she called me on Monday when she was with her mom and said, "Dad, at school, during lunch in the cafeteria, there's a microphone that usually, gives instructions to the students about whatever." A sixth grader in a Commander's jersey walked up to the front of the room and just said, "Commandos, let's go!" And she said the entire cafeteria erupted.
Oh,
Commandos,
wait, she
let's
called,
go.
But the kid called them Commandos, not Commanders, right?
I don't know if it's because Jaden is cool, if he's just got this vibe or swag. I don't know if it's because Eckler is a professional. I don't know if it's because McLaurin has stuck it out. John Allen, who isn't even great, who's hurt, like, these guys have been through a brutal situation for so long, and it's been lifted. The vibe is so – even my – I have Dallas fans, a friend, it's true. my Pittsburgh Steelers. All of my friends are happy. Maybe not my Ravens fans, but all of my friends are genuinely happy because this guy is nasty and he's humble. And it's not like the last, maybe when we had Iverson in the D.C. area was somebody so unique and great and awesome, but he carried with him like a lot of baggage nationally that people couldn't like. But, like, there is nothing about Washington. And Noah Brown has been catching. I've watched it 50 times so far in 3 days. Guys, there's a video of one of the coaches going to the bench and telling Mike Sanistrom and Martin, stand up. We need your vibe. Without hesitation, they both stand up because they believe. And then after Noah catches that ball, one, I don't know who it was, but he's like, we have five. We've got a chance.
Yep.
It is the best time by far
to be a Washington sports fan.
I don't know who it was. It is the best time. It doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters, it can happen at any play, is if Jaden gets hurt.
Yep.
But if we lose every game from here out, I'd be okay because I know we have competent leadership. We have Adam Peters, who's not going to do anything dumb. And we have Jaden that's not going to get worse.
Jeremy, let me jump in. I appreciate you. The passion in your voice is awesome. That story was great. I'm down with it. If they want to call them Commandos?
Whatever the kids
want to do, whatever makes it popular, whatever, so we don't have to have a name change. I'm down with that. Thank you. Appreciate it. We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll try and squeeze in one more before the top of the hour. We'll keep the line going, and we're going to get into the red zone issues. But that's a great little story from Jeremy in Baltimore. That's a guy awesome. In Baltimore yeah. who's a diehard fan. Not that that's impossible, but trying to teach his daughter the right way. Trying to teach his daughter the right way and have that does emotional that connection.
Feel, does that make you feel any type of way, saying well, the right way?
Yeah. I mean, as a dad, I knew exactly what he's talking about.
I got you. I'm just saying, just to see a town that you were planted into have so much success right now and be at the top of
you
the mountain.
You forget, son, that the seed was planted 16 years ago. Okay?
Boy, okay.
17
you,
years
got
ago.
To, you've got to okay? watch that tree grow.
You know, huh? You can industry plant me until the cows come home. You
it's
forgot.
More of an industry tree.
Yeah. I'm like Jack and the freaking beanstalk, baby. Tree, yeah. I'm like Jack and the beanstalk. Wow, I've been here almost as long as your ass has been alive.
It's true. It's like the tree they make you take home.
Team 980 on the Odyssey app. All right, if you're just joining us, Jaden Daniels and Brandon Coleman practicing on what we believe will be officially labeled as a limited basis. I think Dan Quinn said practice some, but no Cornelius Lucas today. That's really the big injury kind of update perspective, what have you. Not as interesting as last week, of course, but still very relevant in that. If Trent Scott, as we mentioned, and I think we all saw, And this is going to lead us into the conversation about the red zone issues as well, at least from my perspective. But I want to get one more call in here, at least before the top of the hour. Let's go quickly to Mark and Chevy Chase here. What up, Mark? How are you?
Mark.
Hey, I'm calling it the miracle.
The miracle? As in the Bears? Like a spinoff of the Bears?
I don't know if the play has a name yet for
it's a Maryland
it.
Miracle.
I wonder what's the name of it?
So I don't know if it has a name. I said Noah's Ark, ARC.
Great.
But Linnell just brought up one that wasn't brought up on Monday when we were doing our spin on it was headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily what you would call the play, but you're more likely to be right in that it probably will be dubbed a certain name, a play, and I did not hear a Maryland Miracle.
Maryland Miracle, yeah.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, Hail Maryland. Yep. Yeah. I did hear that.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of good ones. I don't know what they're going to settle on, but all I know is it was majestic.
I love the play. My girlfriend, who I talk about week to week, and sometimes she joins us, she was doing laundry in our apartment, and I think I leapt from the couch to the laundry machine in about a second. And
attaboy.
Yeah, my nephew was at the game.
Wait, but she should have been she should have been rooting for the Commanders, being that the Bears are not a bird. Right?
You know, we have a we have an interesting dilemma coming up. My birthday happens to be November 14th.
Oh my God, it's my birthday!
And yeah, yeah, we do this. I'm actually pronunciating these days for the radio show in particular, but my birthday is November 14th, and I took I took my girlfriend Michelle to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game against Tom Brady, where we held the ball the last 10 minutes of the game.
Sure, sure, I remember that.
I'm nervous about my birthday because we're playing the Eagles.
Oh, that's the Thursday night game. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Linnell, we need to do something.
We're twins, man.
We are.
I'm gonna call you guys the birthday bros.
The past couple of years on our birthday, too, man, we've had some good. We beat the Eagles a couple of years ago.
What do you think we are as a sports town? Real quickly, Mark, before we have to let you go. 1 through 10, on field and off the field.
A 10.
A 10? How about that? Second 10 in a row. How about that? Everybody's feeling good, Josie. Happy early birthday, in case we forget.
Oh, we won't
happy
forget.
Early birthday to you, too.
We're not
going to
forget.
The Eagles and the Commanders on your birthday? How about them apples?
Yeah.
159, Team 980, more of your calls. Plus, what went wrong in the red zone? Who, if anyone, is to blame? Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.